So this week we have, it's a continuation of what we were talking about 2 weeks ago, the Sunday before Laity Sunday, and we were focusing on the renewal of our mind. And if you didn't hear that first part, you don't have to fret or anything. They are completely independent, so you can still get today's if you didn't happen to hear that. If you want to listen to it, you can always go on our website. You can listen to that. And because there is some continuity between these two, I did, in your bulletin insert, I repeated some scripture passages, and there is also some different scripture passages that we shared from last time as well. And the most notable one, kind of the most memorable one probably, because it takes up a whole page, is a Psalm 139, which is a fabulous, fabulous passage that really talks about who we are. And then in some inner pages, I've also included some other information, and we're going to be referring to these things as well. So we're just going to begin and read a few of these passages together. They're very short, but let's read the first four together, and then we'll read the last one, and we'll just read the scripture passage and not the part that's in parentheses under that, okay? So we'll read the one from Luke, Matthew, Psalm 23, and then down to just that one line of Psalm 139, okay? So if you'll join with me, judge not, and you'll not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but lose your soul? You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And then down at the bottom, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. And may God bless our understanding or an embodiment of these beautiful words of abundant life. So we're going to start with a quick quiz. And that is, I'm going to mention some people's names, and you can figure out what do these people have in common with one another, okay? And that is in considering the importance of, in terms of importance of our interior design, the state of our soul, compared with our exterior part, the part that other people may see from the outside, okay? So in that regard, what do these people have in common? And you'll probably get it pretty quickly, I'm sure. Elvis Presley. Michael Jackson. Whitney Houston. Marilyn Monroe. Princess Diana. Robin Williams. Prince. If you're a Saturday Night Live fan, Chris Farley, John Belushi. What do they have in common in terms of the interior design of their lives versus what we would see on the outside? These are just a few of the famous people who had some pretty amazing, enviable lives, just uber talented, mega successful, good looking, youthful. What are all those things that we want? Rich, young, adored by millions. Cars, houses, fame, fortune. And then there was their interior design. Jesus asked, what do you gain if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? Does it really matter if things, you know, things look fabulous to everyone else, right? But they don't feel good. We know about these famous people because they're famous, right? How about the regular folks? How about the, you know, the businessmen and women and doctors and husbands and wives, and my God, how about our children? I mean, collectively, our children, what's going on these days with their interior design? With who's telling them who they are as a human being, right? Who's telling them who they're supposed to be? What they can aspire to be? What they should be wanting? What's most important in their life? We'll get to the magazine covers that are on the inside of your bulletin inserts a little bit later. But what we notice in our scripture passages is that there's something going on in there. And the thing that's going on in these passages are, you know, Jesus and God, you read these things and they're very concerned in a really, really loving way with the state of our interior being, the state of our interior design, every one of us. And there's a deep concern for anything at all that might hold back or mar us living a life of, you know, as it describes, this incredibly full and joyful, abundant life. And in these passages, it's also incredibly clear that this state of being, it's not an anomaly, it's not for the lucky few or the esoterically, you know, spiritually gifted or anything. It's for every single one of us. Right? Every single one of us who, it's clear in Psalm 139, you read that we've been designed, that we've been built from the ground up, from our very core, to experience this unbelievable resonance and well-being and freedom to shine as a light and to love. And in these passages, it's so clear that who we are is this word built, fearfully and wonderfully made. I love that. And it doesn't mean that, you know, anybody's afraid of us or something, but it's just that sense of incredible, overwhelming awe. That's how powerful it is. And it's right there, you know. And this is our faith, right? But you know, it's so much more than our faith. Because some people can take faith as, well, yeah, it's a nice theory. It's a great virtue and so forth. You see this, though, as truth empirically when you look around. You know, you look around at children, and you see this wonderful design that's described right here, where it's fleshed out especially in the really, really young children, where it just shines through, you know, with their beautiful, they're just gorgeous authenticity, right? Their souls that haven't been, you know, when they haven't been tainted yet, you know, by the world, by culture, they haven't been, you know, been restricted yet. Like what happens to every one of us through our lives, right? When it piles on with years of, you know, little bits and sometimes big bits of judgment and shame and self-conscious, I'll look stupid, I don't want to do that. You know, and that's why we're attracted to children, right? We just have this natural love for children. Why? Because we see them and it frees something up in us, right? We see them just, you know, every Sunday. It's so fabulous. I mean, today we didn't have the children for the children's sermon, but you know, every Sunday, I mean, the kids come up, right, and they're just kind of sitting here, and you know, sometimes they're rolling around or poking each other. They're not self-conscious, right? I could, you know, tell you some other things that they do, but you know that better than I do. And you know, and the cherubs in the cherub choir, you know, they feel like sitting down, they sit down. You know, if they feel like wearing cat ears one day, they wear cat ears. It's great. And they haven't learned yet. They haven't learned to be embarrassed. They haven't learned to be ashamed. They haven't learned to be self-conscious or to judge themselves or to be, you know, judging others. And this is the point, right? This is the point, is that we teach that to them. We teach that to them. They start learning these things, sadly, when they're very, very young. You should be ashamed of yourself. Don't do that. And the socialization process, we need the socialization process, but really not the shame, not the judgment. Not. So Jesus describes us as, in one of these passages, as the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine, right? But we start taking these things on over the years that we get from the outside. Because these things that reduce us, they don't come from inside, they come from outside. We take them on. We learn them and then we start repeating them to ourselves. They become our messages to ourselves. We learn to be critical of ourselves. We learn to be self-conscious. Then a beautiful light within just begins to, little bit by little bit, every one of us here feels that. Just little kind of dimming down, little dimming down. And we learn over time, we learn how to create an exterior, right? The kind of exterior that we want to share. So we can appear to others the way that we want to project. Even though at times our interior, we may be feeling something very different, right? So we can learn to live with this discontinuity to the point where it is between our interior and exterior, where there's this sense of discord can actually become our normal state of being, right? And what we show in the outside and feel in the inside can be very different things. And this is the thing that our scripture, really that all these scripture passages are addressing. What do we do? How do we restore our soul? How do we get back to that natural, beautiful, that peaceful, grounded, equanimous, right? Joyful state that's actually always there? And that's the amazing thing. It's always there within every single one of us. Just this beautifully balanced, loving, beaming soul. Why? Because we all start out that way. And even though it can be covered up by so many layers, that light never goes out. It never goes away. You know, as children, we're beautiful, we're open, we're loving, we're playful, you know, we're natural. And then you look at us as adults. Right? Isn't every kid just a beautiful kid? Every kid's a beautiful kid because they're free. And what the heck happens to us when we become adults and we're like, when did we get so uptight? Right? When did we get so, you know, kind of, you know, rigid with some things or serious? When did we get, you know, down on ourselves and just start, you know, kind of judging everything? Well, I didn't really do that well, you know, it was better, you know, played a bit around last week, you know, whatever it is, I don't know. Critical of self, critical of others. Did you see her? And just this constant, it's this constant thing. You look at children, and it's just so blatantly obvious that no child, for example, right? No child is born a terrorist. How about that one? Children aren't born with issues. Children aren't born with anger. They're not born with hate. Judging, kids don't even know how to judge. That requires comparison. They don't even have that. They don't know how, they literally don't know how to be prejudiced, because that means prejudging. They play with everyone, right? They don't know. Hate, division. That has to be taught. We create that as a culture. And we look around so much these days. I've had conversations throughout this weekend with people, you know, some church members, some designers, and we're talking about you know, what is going on? There's so much stuff happening in the world, you know, and in our country. And people are asking, you know, my God, why is this happening? God, why are you allowing these things to happen? Where's God in this? You know what's happening? God's creating beautiful, wonderful beings. And we as human beings are doing all sorts of things to muck that up. That's what's happening. Nobody's born with neuroses, fears, a sense of being uptight, hating somebody because they look different, because they come from another country. They don't know what another country is. God doesn't create these things. We're designed with incredible peace. We're designed, built right in, joy from the start. And you see that with every single child, every single baby. And that is exactly what God and Christ are talking about when it comes up with, you know, restore my soul. Restore it to what? Restore it to this state of being. That's you. Before all the cover-up. And you know, what's one of those wonderful things to do, right, is with a baby, is you look at him sleeping. Right? I don't know, is that just me? Or isn't that cool to watch them sleeping? Why? You know, you look at the look on their face, and that's bliss, right? Just this incredible bliss, and there is not one tense anything. Peace, ease. That's what God means when we read, you know, we're wonderfully made. It's who you are at the core. You know, and Jesus, we go back, you know, to Jesus saying, you need to become like children if you want to experience the kingdom of God, right? That's what he's talking about. That's why these scripture passages, they don't present the state of being as, you know, a spiritual ladder that we need to, you know, climb up or achieve something that we need to earn. You know, there's different ranks of, you know, Christians or whatever. You know, it's just returning to the state that gets all mucked up. And so we're going to focus for a few moments on our interior design. How about that? How to get back to that? How do we get back to that? First thing we do to restore that is really, first of all, we notice it. Kind of like we're doing now. And we go, you know, yeah, I got that. I got that in me. I know it's there. There's a poem that kind of reflects a way of noticing in this way. And Jeff Nickel, who's the chairperson of our board of deacons, shared this poem with the deacons last Sunday morning for our meeting. And it's kind of, you know, a way to do this. It's one way to do this process, and it's kind of in a poetic form. It's by Mary Oliver. It's called The Summer Day. And it goes like this. Who made the world? Who made the swan? Who made the black bear? Who made the grasshopper, this grasshopper? The one that flung herself out of the grass, and the one who's eating sugar out of my hand. The one who's moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down. The one who's gazing around with her enormous, complicated eyes. And now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face, and now she snaps her wings open and flies away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is, it continues. But I do know how to pay attention. how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down into the grass, how to be idle and blessed. How to stroll through the field, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Is that frivolous? I think if people practiced that kind of thing a little bit more, I think they wouldn't be running down other people with trucks. I think that there would be some who, you know, maybe wouldn't have nothing to lose and just shoot up a whole bunch of innocent people or commit domestic violence. You know, God doesn't create angry people, hurtful people. Is it selfish to take time with God? Is it selfish to take that time, as Psalm 23 says, and you know, lie down in a green pasture, sit beside the still waters, and allow that process to restore my soul? Is that a luxury that, you know, we just don't have time to afford? Or is that possibly the greatest possible gift you could actually give to someone who you love, that you could give to the world? Your interior design, shining and free and loving. You know, just taking a moment to notice. What do we notice when we look at our children collectively as a group, you know, our young people, with what's going on with their interior design of who are we letting our young people, you know, tell them that they are as human beings and what's most important for them? And so you take a look at your bulletin inserts and you know, you look at those pictures of Girls Life magazine. This is the real picture, the top. There's a real picture of Girls Life magazine and the real picture of Boys Life magazine right next to it. Somebody noticed these two, that they were at some kind of sports game, and I actually saw two people reading these and were just blown away by the differences in emphasis of what girls are being told, the messages, and boys, right? And you read some of those things. Now, down below, there's the real Girl's Life cover, and then to the right of that, lower right-hand corner, is a mock-up, and you know, a graphic artist made this mock-up as to, you know, what could some of the messages be compared to the ones that girls are actually being barraged with. And we get a flavor of what's going on, you know? And we know that they're under tremendous stress. We know that the turmoil there, we know that, you know, it's an epidemic level of stress and depression, suicide, right? Never been higher. Adults, depression, anxiety, all-time high. And I had, again, conversations this weekend. We feel that washing over us. It's actually, we had a conversation last night about, you know, about how the vignettes themselves have changed, how they're, and you notice them in their kind of warm and cozy little retreats. Why? Because of what's happening in the world is that we are pulling in to our own lives. You know, and we feel that washing over us every time we watch the horrible news, every time we watch every rotten thing that's happening in every corner of the world. There's not a lot of soul-nurturing stuff out there. So what do? It's not good for our interior design. And then, we have God. We have God. Restoring at our will our well-being with peace and joy. And as we invite God in, if we take that time, as we invite Christ into our lives, into our hearts, into our minds, you know, we make a place for that. And actually invite. And you know, it's interesting. You mentioned that to some people, and, you know, and all of a sudden, some people, they even feel this little thing. They're like, well, I don't know about that. You know, I don't know what's going to happen if I invite God in. You know, if I invite Christ in, it might get a little out of control. You know, I don't thoroughly know about them, and I'm not really sure where they're going to take me. But it's weird, right? You think about this. It's fascinating. There's so much stuff we invite so much stuff into our minds, into our hearts, into our souls, you know, through movies, through books, and it's just kind of open, and all this stuff is just kind of pouring in. Some of it's terrible stuff, you know. Just inviting all sorts of stuff to just kind of come into our interior design, but many times, you know, people can be reticent about, I don't know about Christ. Making room for all sorts of other things. You know, we read. Think about this with your own life. You know, how much time we read, we search out information about the shooter. What's he about? I want to look that one up. What's he like? Where did he come from? Is he married? Was he angry? What was his motivation? Let's read some more articles about that. But Christ? I don't know. It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing if, you know, if we're more intrigued about the shooter than we are about the healer. And maybe that's some of the thing that's going on here. We choose who we follow. Right? Lie down in green pastures, sit beside still waters, restore my soul. You know, you can invite God in for an imaginary cup of tea, for as crazy as that sounds. Maybe you read one of these passages or some other passage, and there's, you know, maybe there's a couple of words that resonate, that just kind of you know, touch your heart in a certain way. You just like it. You like the feel of that, right? And so you stick with it for a little bit, and you just kind of let it work on you. That's inviting God in. That's what it's about. It's not, you know, a whole bunch of complicated stuff. You know, is it selfish to take time with God when we're getting barraged with all this other stuff for hours and hours and hours and hours to restore our soul? Or is it potentially the greatest gift we can possibly give to someone who we love and to the world? Would you be happy if someone who you love took that time and took the time to restore and was this loving, shining, forgiving, free, open being? What a gift. What good is it if you look great from the outside, you're not happy and not full of love on the inside? I'm going to close with a little exercise. Just to give us this gift for a few moments to practice this along these lines. And if you want to, I would suggest it to take a moment to just close your eyes. You got nothing to do. Nobody's going to see you. They're going to have their eyes closed. You just close your eyes and imagine, visualize you in front of yourself as your ideal self, your ideal self. What is your ideal self? Not really, especially in words like, you know, I'd like to be happy, but, you know, you actually visualize it. Seeing yourself, how would it feel? Feel it. What does it feel like to just take a moment and embody your ideal spiritual self when there's no competition? There's nothing pulling it down. What would you look like? What would your face, what would your countenance be like to be just totally and completely free, happy, open, no constraints, no hold back? Allow yourself, you actually experience that, let that grow. Let it become more settled. Maybe your ideal self, you know, even has a little glow, I don't know, with grounded joy. Complete and total ease. Perfectly safe, just like that baby sleeping. And that's you. That kind of depth, that peace, that feeling wonderful, and now you get to sit with that. As God designed you, wonderfully made, and you can let that sink deeper. And you can let that become more grounded within you. You can let that become more expansive, if you like. And still with your eyes closed, you can imagine, you know, during the day when stuff comes at you, you know you have your ideal self right there within you. Wonderfully made. Secure, strong, peaceful, radiant, in your oasis, in your soul, where you get to sit with your ideal self whenever you need, whenever you want. To restore your soul. When stuff comes at you, you can just let it fall away. It doesn't attach to this glowing, natural, loving, happy being. And this is step one, to give yourself that opportunity to experience it. And you can, if you choose to, you can invite God into that space, that being, to help enrich and provide energy for your soul just as you were created. You don't have to lift a finger, just like you didn't have to lift a finger to create yourself. Step two is to allow yourself to sit with that, to revisit your ideal self with no encumbrances, nothing holding you back. You can carve out 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You don't have to rescue the world during that time. The world's not going anywhere for that time. Where you're able to be free again, the sacred time. And this is healing time if you choose. You could repeat a short phrase if you want. Rest in me, peace I give to you. Restore my soul. Step three, you may revisit your ideal self, your soul, again and again, and develop a well-worn path. And repeat. Your interior design. You are the light of the world. I give you rest for your soul. abundant life, joy. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you have not already done so, you may open your eyes.
Amen. Loving God of our creation and author of the tides and the rhythms and the seasons of our lives and our years, you who are with us in our highs and our lows and all points in between, thank you. Thank you for our lives. Thank you for our fabulous and loving church and for our community. Thank you for our ability to be able to pull together, to be able to team up and through our love and through your love, to be able to gain strength and to create, this weekend with wonderful artists, designers, vendors, with volunteers, so that we can pull together and serve you by serving those among us in our community who need your extra support, to be able to pull together and raise funds and to be able to provide Thanksgiving baskets and warm hats and mittens and coats. For as hard as it may be to believe, for those who would not have such simple things, such basic items as these, something that most of us, we just can't comprehend, God. Nor would we want to know how that would be. And so, yes, God, we thank you for our ability and privilege to serve. And with gratitude, we also pray for those in our congregation and family members who have gone through successful surgeries, for those among us who have been recently diagnosed with very weighty diagnoses. But we give ourselves to you, we give these people to you for your care, for your healing, for your strength, for your comfort, for patience, for your patience to be with them and perseverance. For those who've been battling job transitions and illnesses, for those who are now in fragile medical condition. Lord, as we embrace all these, our friends, our church members, our community members, family members, we lift up our whole lives and the lives of those we love who need your strength and courage, which is ultimately each one of us. May you continue to bless us, Lord. May you continue to keep us, Lord. May you continue to guide us, Lord, resting and refreshing us. In your Holy Spirit. This we pray. Amen.